Hello, and welcome to this special science podcast from the 2008 AAAS Annual Meeting in Boston, Massachusetts. It's February 17th. I'm Robert Frederick. In this short podcast, Food versus Fuel, Biofuels, Development, and a Sustainable Bioeconomy. If there's one thing that many scientists agree upon about biofuels, it's that
one biofuel is not another biofuel. You can't generalize in this subject. If you generalize, then everybody becomes confused.
Diana Bowles is a plant biologist from the University of York. From the corporate side, Ronald Oxberg agrees. He's a geologist and chairman of D1 Oils, a biodiesel company in the United Kingdom.
There are biofuels and biofuels. For heaven's sake, don't write about biofuels as if they were a class all the same. There are some which have very good properties and some which are distinctly less good.
In particular, some are easier to produce from a technological side and, as a consequence, are good, less good, or, as some argue, even bad for the environment. John Ranieri is general manager of DuPont's Bio-Based Materials, Energy, and Specialties Division.
The imperative to both have access to a new supply that are environmentally friendly or produce a much smaller footprint is critical for survival. I think everyone would say that the global warming aspect is happening. The kinetics can be argued, but we are having a very serious underlying issue, and we need to move away in a smart way towards more sustainable fuels.
While I fully agree with my previous speakers that you must not generalize on the technology side and the environmental impact side.
Joachim von Braun is Director General of the International Food Policy Research Institute.
You can and must generalize on the market effects. Currently, the market effects of rapid expansion of bioethanol and biodiesel have made a major contribution to the price increases.
Braun says that food prices have more than doubled in the last 12 months, with some staple prices having gone up more than 100% for the last 2 years.
Biofuels, indirectly, and the high energy prices play a major role for that rewriting of the world food equation. About one-third to 50% of the food price changes are, according to our analyses, to be attributed to the changes in the energy sector, including the agriculture energy sector. What does this mean for poor people? It means for lots of poor people more hunger.
At a risk of sounding overdramatic,
again, Ronald Oxberg of D1 Oils.
The survival of the human race on the planet depends on our wise and effective use of plant resources. Plants are amazing things. They are the only sustainable long-term source that we have of many things that we eat, of things that we use as energy sources, and indeed of materials. And using that widely is what the human race will need to do to survive on the planet, because that is renewable.
And if we think about agriculture and we think about agricultural commodities driving the global economy.
Again, Diana Bowles.
We have to think about sustainability. And we have to start thinking about how to devise sustainability criteria that can be applied to agriculture, whether it's for fuel or food. Whenever we're growing agricultural feedstocks, we have to do that in a sustainable way, because our world is going to increasingly use those feedstocks for everything that the world needs. And I think we're fortunate in actually having plants around. I speak as a plant biologist, so maybe I'm a bit biased, but agricultural feedstocks really make use of this immense flexibility that plants have evolved over millions of years to make all sorts of chemicals. Chemicals beyond those capable of being made by synthetic chemists. And they can make these cheaply because they can use solar energy. They can make these cheaply because they can use CO2. And we can benefit from this capacity. But we have to do it in a sustainable way.
For now, however, Joachim von Braun advises poorer countries like Egypt and Bangladesh to invest in the science and technology of agriculture.
And diversify the agricultural sector to make it even more productive than it currently is. And in the current years, there's no alternative to belt tightening.
That is, unless specific trade agreements can be made to provide sustainable energy and minimize the risk to the world's poor. This has been a special science podcast from the 2008 AAAS Annual Meeting in Boston, Massachusetts. The show is a production of Science Magazine and of AAAS, the Science Society. Jeffrey Cook composed the music. I'm Robert Frederick. On behalf of Science Magazine and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for joining us.